9 years later, and Gilmore Girls returns to our televisions. Where you lead, we will follow. It's the Gilmore Girls After Show at AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, guys, to AfterBuzz TV's after show coverage for Gilmore Girls. Oh, very excited to be bringing this to you. I'm way more chipper than the Luke cosplay that I'm currently in. Because I'm excited. I'm excited that this show exists. Guys, I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. I have a fantastic, lovely pair of girls here to help me recap Gilmore Girls. Why don't you introduce yourself? Let's start with Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone. I'm Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. This music is giving me life.
Hey, and I'm Haley O'Connor. You can find me on Twitter at Haley O'Connor. That is Haley with two Y's. If you don't use two Y's, you're not too wise.
Boom. I needed a drum roll effect
that
there.
That line kills. Stole it from my dad.
He was a wise man.
Thanks. Yes.
We're here.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining us. If you are joining us in the live chat, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And if you're joining us later, be sure to let us know. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube or a rating on iTunes. Let us know what you're thinking, what you thought of these episodes. But first, I need to know what you guys thought of these episodes, because this is a show. Well, let's go back. I want to know. Let's kick it off. Introduce ourselves, everybody. What this show means to you guys. Because I know for a lot of people, this show is hugely important to their lives. And so everybody has a unique place that they came to with it. Marissa, why don't we start with you?
Right. Well, I loved Gilmore Girls a few years ago. Actually, I got into it late. I saw some episodes here and there as a teenager, but I binged it all through college. And it was like the perfect time in my life that like it was so resonated with me. I drank a crap ton of coffee, like 8 to 9 cups of coffee every single day. I was constantly reading books like Rory. I was like, oh my God, Gilmore Girls is my life right now. And so I binged it twice, like literally back to back. Within 4 months, I watched the whole show twice. And it was so good. And I watched all of Lauren Graham's movies after that. I watched all of Alexis Bledel's movies after that. It was such a show that resonated with me. And they're fast talking like I am, and they're witty, and I love that. And it was just smart. And all the popular culture references and stuff, I loved it. It was a brilliant show. And I'm glad I was at the age where I can like actually understand and appreciate all the references, instead of like being a kid and not getting it going over my head. But I loved it, and I loved it so much. And then, you know, a few years later, when Parenthood came out, I was like, oh, thank God Lauren Graham's in another show. And I covered that show on AfterBuzz TV. So, but like, I love this show. And once I realized that WB was, you know, putting it together, I was like, hey, I want to do the show. I literally formulated an email more than a year ago saying that I wanted to do this after show. And I'm just so glad it's back in our lives.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In the world of being in Hollywood, and you know, that in that world that everyone just wants the nostalgia shows and movies to come back, I'm glad Gilmore Girls is one of them, because it's still relevant.
So, yeah. What about you, Haley?
So I was an OGG, I guess, and I watched it when it was originally on the air. I clearly remember the first episode I saw was not the pilot, but it was the one where Rory goes to the dance in the first season, and I was hooked. I don't know. It's just, like, it really spoke to me. I'm from a tiny town on the East Coast, and so it really, in so many ways, I mean, I'm Irish, obviously, O'Connor, so, like, a crazy, like, fast-talking Irish family is sort of my thing as well, so, like, and I watched it all through high school and into college, because I think it went off the air in 2007. And so it was during high school and college for me, and it was just always there. I can remember in high school, like, a male friend of mine who I later ended up dating would watch it, and we would call each other on commercial breaks to be like, oh my God, did you see what happened? Oh my God, Luke! Like, so it is always so near and dear to my heart, and I love the banter. They feel like friends, you know? They're like, I was glad to keep hanging out with them now.
Yeah. I am a recent convert to Gilmore Girls. It started as I needed to watch like one episode for research purposes for TV fights on Screen Junkies.
Which episode?
The episode where the Lorelai throws the Lord of the Rings birthday party for the kids. And I was like, that's fun. So I like went back and I watched the pilot and like the couple episodes, and then I made a let's just say I wasn't totally sober. And I just I'm gonna binge this show, but this is in September. I'm gonna binge this show by the time it comes back for the revival.
Wow.
And I put it out on social media.
You did.
And
you
so did it. I was obligated, and then I did it.
Yeah, and then every once in a while you would catch up. You were like, oh, I'm on this show. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, just you wait.
I fell for this show just because like I connected. Like, I'm also from a small town. Like, no, not from a town. I'm from a village. Yeah. We were not legally allowed to say town.
I'm from a village.
So, and like in New York, and so in the Northeast, and like all of this stuff, like, I mean, I don't have rich grandparents,
no,
but
same.
I connected them, and I immediately like fell in love with like, and I had that like weird thing where it's like, I really love both of these women. Like in like, I was like, not just like, I love the characters, like
romantically.
I romantically love both of these people.
Ready for it.
But like
one is
like, they're equally distant from my age.
To not be appropriate.
But like the movie references, all that stuff, I just like, I connected these characters and to Luke in certain ways to Jess in certain ways. It's fun. All right, let's talk about these episodes. We're going to start with Winter.
Start with winter.
I love that it's cute, the winter, spring, summer, fall.
It's cute. You know, when I saw just the listing of the episode names, I would have assumed based on very little that they would have ended with winter, because we know Lorelai loves winter. It's her favorite season. She loves snow. So I figured they would have like gone out on a winter, but nope, we're starting right in with it.
Yeah,
I'm glad they started with winter because we know it's Lorelai's favorite time of year. And I love how they added the line, like, I smell snow.
Yeah, charm us right off the bat.
The top of this episode is like very much just like nostalgia turned up to 11.
Yeah.
Just sure. Like they literally like tore the town. The amount of times where she like wrote them into like, and you can see where she's commenting on the fact that this exists is. Mm-hmm. It like borders it like just before it would reach into being like too much.
it walked the line. They have right at the start, I think, Lorelai says, how long has it been? Or like, it feels like years. But it hasn't, or at least we would assume watching these episodes that like Rory's coming home all the time. So there's no way they've gone like even a year without seeing each other.
It may have been like a few weeks or something.
Right. Mm-hmm. It feels like years.
But for those watching, definitely it feels like years.
You know
well, not for Zach.
Self-awareness.
One of the lucky few that got to just watch it all through.
The self-awareness, I loved how they added that.
It's cute. Like, so we walk around the town, we see Kirk has a pig.
I like that. Just a sprinkle of Kirk is fine. All I need. I don't need any more than that.
And he wants to start
fine.
Uber.
Taylor's got his trying to change
system.
The town.
He's
got a campaign going on. So let's start. Let's talk about Lorelai's plotline in this episode. It was a lot of it was centered around the funeral and the passing of her father. Which was necessary for the show since the actor passed away.
Rest in peace, Richard and Edward Herman.
Yeah, and it. I mean, I know that Amy
Paladine.
Okay, I wasn't sure quite how to pronounce it, so I'm like, all right,
we got this.
But she had talked about how it was sort of the impetus for how this what the show was going to be, what this season was going to be. Because how do you deal with like such a major character not being able to return?
Mm-hmm.
You address it head on.
Right.
So Lorelai comes into this. We got Jason popped up at the funeral.
That was nice. Of course he would be there. Sure.
Digger.
But it sort of made sense to me. I'm curious what you guys thought, that they got it back to a place where she was being adversarial with her mother. As opposed to where they were more or less bonded towards the end of the original series.
But they had to, right? Like, that's part of what people want to see with them. They want them to fight because we kind of love it. Like,
well, exactly.
We're all jerks, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we are.
But I think it's true to their characters. They're constantly fighting, but somehow they're still family and they still get to that point where they understand each other and can kind of start to agree with each other and then be civil again. It's just that ebb and flow of their relationship.
Yeah. And they got a lot to work on. The funeral sequence, I thought was pretty beautiful.
Tom Waits or something, the song playing.
Just the way that they threaded it into, like, jumping back to it as opposed to starting with it. Because I think that would have been the temptation for a lot of people.
Just to open
with the dramatic moment. But I think it was cleaner to, like, have it go back as a revelation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And see all this play out. And the way that everybody reacted differently to his passing.
I definitely agree. I mean, you can see Emily's distraught and she's trying to, like, get her life back together and the overcompensating, over-obsessive way that she does. And then Lorelai's, you know, not to jump ahead, but, like, Lorelai's awkwardness and how she deals with it, and even Rory just trying to be supportive of everybody. I liked how they touched upon this and they still used a premeditated, like an already predetermined story of Richard's health and his, you know, in the earlier seasons when he had heart problems. I loved how that was still a reoccurring thing that made sense for this character and how he passed.
Yeah, I do love the story of him, like, passing. I think that comes in spring, but we can talk about it now as long as we're discussing it. Like, the idea that he was, for those watching, for the record, we are talking about both winter and spring, so spoilers are
of just
in the
those
air
first
for
two.
Both
yeah.
of those two.
Spoilers are in
Don't
the
spoil
air.
The rest for us.
Yeah, but we haven't watched summer or fall yet. But the idea that he was like, get away from me, as his last words.
Charming.
I can picture and I can hear Richard say that.
Yeah. Totally.
It works. It's like, he is somebody who likes to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense. But the fight that was ignited after Lorelai, like, I was surprised she couldn't come up with any, like, positive anecdote.
Well, drinking, no. I mean, they give her a reason. Straight like, she from... hasn't eaten, she's been drinking, and you're upset. I don't know, the passing of a parent is impossibly hard, and she's been drinking all afternoon, and then, surprise, you have to say words.
A parent that you've had a very mixed
a challenging relationship
with.
For sure.
Because I went back and I watched the pilot, the original pilot, and it's so interesting to see his behavior towards Lorelai in those early episodes, because we think of them as having a pretty good rapport. Because much
it takes
more,
a minute to warm, to warm up, right?
Yeah. Their relationship is always much friendlier than it was between Emily and Lorelai.
But
right at the beginning, like it was like his, he was less receptive to her. He was more angry than Emily was.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to like go back and look at that difference. But yeah, it makes sense for the character. But the fight that was caused by Emily, like, really screams a lot of truths at her.
Yeah.
That's like, even as a fan, you're like, oh, don't tear apart the character for
I me. I love Emily. You know, there is no show without Emily being like, because everyone thinks of Lorelai and Rory, but oh my God, I love Emily. She is, I mean, she's tough. She's tough and awful sometimes, but she is like such a good character to have. So yeah, she said some real true stuff.
She did. I mean, you got to remember that Emily is also a Gilmore Girl as well.
Yeah,
technically
one of the girls, but in the title. Yeah.
And like, I understand what she was saying to Lorelai, and I feel like she's the only one who can actually say that to Lorelai and like maybe get through to Lorelai like, yes, I am this kind of person, I keep doing these things. But the thing is, what kind of bothers me how Emily keeps bringing it up, there's still old problems that Emily hasn't resolved yet. It's like, these are things you're still resentful for. They happened years ago. You think, like, she'd kind of move on a bit. Like, we already got those issues out of the past, but yeah, she still brings it up. And I think that bothers me that she still hasn't really let that go and move on. It's like, it's a grudge. And yet, I find it kind of like ironic how she's like, Lorelai, you hold on to grudges. It's like, so do you.
Yeah, but that's real though, right? Like, nobody can see themselves. You always call out the thing when you're fighting someone that's really your thing or whatever. Yeah.
but there is a certain amount of, like, Lorelai is selfish a lot.
She is so, they both are selfish, her and her daughter. When you watch it and you try to not love them, you're like, wow, we might not like these people in real life.
But the idea that, like, she didn't even ask what Luke wanted is fair. Like, it's not necessarily something that she has asked. And it's the kind of thing that I don't think ever occurred to her. And that's exactly what,
because she already did it.
Yeah. Scary about it for her.
Those are good questions, but it's also hard for the audience who've been watching. We skipped 9 years. We don't know if, like, we didn't see the fact that Lorelai didn't ask him any questions. Like, oh, I guess she didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was just kind of assumed that it just happened, but we didn't know how.
Yeah.
So I liked how she brought that up.
Yeah. The other thing that Lorelai is mainly dealing with in this episode is, like, at the inn. With Suki's missing.
Yeah. Suki's obviously gone.
I.e., we can only get Melissa McCarthy for one episode. Right?
Yeah. little too successful, Melissa.
But good for her.
You didn't show up to your best friend's dad's funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Probably because we could only get Melissa McCarthy for one episode.
Well, she's been gone for apparently a year.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
So that happened within 4 months, quote unquote.
We're cycling through some famous chefs at the inn. And
I love that. I missed that they said, like, the first time I watched this one, because I watched it twice, I missed the fact they said Roy Choi. Like, and then when I saw him, because I know who that is, I was like, is that Roy Choi?
Yep.
Great chef, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
See, I didn't know who Roy Choi is.
No, me either.
I only know who he is because I went to a pop-up of his connected
the Dragonfly Inn?
Connected to the movie Chef, which he appeared in.
Yeah.
And they were serving like his sandwiches from the movie.
Wow.
Nice. Good movie, by the way.
It's a great movie.
Great Cubanos. But yeah, this is a great, I mean, it's clearly a running gag.
Sure.
That I appreciate. It's funny. Like, why she's throwing him out, I have no idea.
Nobody can compare to Suki. There's no other Suki.
Yeah, but she just threw out, who's cooking the food?
Yeah, it does seem like a bad business practice.
There were a few times I get frustrated with Lorelai for business decisions.
Yeah.
And Rory, for that matter, in these episodes. Both of them, you guys just, like,
get it together.
Yeah, like, oh my God, you are the cause of all of your problems.
Yeah.
But Lorelai can hire more people. Apparently she has no problem hiring more people.
Yeah, what wasn't discussed, but it seems like, I guess it was a little bit discussed, they said, like, the inn has been booked solid for however long all this time, but it seems like they're not having money problems. So of all the, like, issues of life that are coming up, they're not having money issues anymore, which was kind of a thing earlier when, obviously, she couldn't pay for Chilton and whatever. So they're not having money issues anymore, but it just seems like, so now she can behave however she wants. Just throw out your cook when you have guests.
Well, she is the owner.
Yep.
She can do whatever. I just like one more point on this. Like, I liked how Emily's always known for, like, having different maids every episode.
Yeah.
Like, she still had Berta for more than 2 episodes, I was, like, amazed by that. But yet, Lorelai can't hold on to a chef.
That's a really good parallel. Lorelai has become the Emily, except with chefs. That's real good.
Just find new people coming in all the time. Yep. Rachel Ray is not good enough for you.
Get her out. Oh, that's great.
She's
becoming her mother, as we all
Rachel.
Do.
The Berta storyline is weird.
I'm perplexed by this. What's the deal? Who is it? Who's the actress? Do you guys know?
No, but that's the thing. It's like,
I tried to look it up, and, like, it wasn't on IMDb.
Whoever the maid is for every episode of Gilmore Girls ever, they've gone through hundreds of maids.
Yeah, you fire two an episode.
We never knew them because we never had them long enough to learn about who they are, if they had family, like, what they do in their life when they're not at the Gilmore
house.
They're
a device to be fired.
So, like, the fact that, like, Berta's been around for longer than 2 episodes and more than a few months.
Yeah, some growth for Emily, probably.
They're trying to, like, add some background to this character that we still won't know of.
Oh, my God. Wait, is that accurate?
Wait, what do you see?
According to this, like, I'm looking at Wikipedia, trying to figure out who
Could be anything.
It says Rose Abdu, who plays Gypsy.
That's what I thought. I thought it might be Gypsy.
Is also Berta.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just with a big wig on.
And now that I read that, I'm like, that
the mouth a little
works.
More. Yeah.
That I did not realize that.
Different it's sort makeup. Of like now we know.
Like, I mean, they've done it before with Alex Borstein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's the only case that I can think of. Oh no, they did it. They did it with Great Grandma, who came back as her own cousin.
Very soap opera.
The actress came back as her own cousin. Anyway, so
they do
continuing
it a little quirky
tradition within Gilmore Girls.
Yep.
That works.
But she doesn't speak any known language, I guess.
It sounded like Spanish. Am I right?
A little Spanish.
Well, but there
would Spanish.
But then they have some lines about. Nobody knows what language she is.
But like I listen, like when she's saying like you're like not here, she's not using like it has like a key in it, which is here, but it's not key. That's not it's just a part of the word she's saying for here. So it's something, it's like either Portuguese or close to it.
I think
or,
it's a mix.
One of those like languages in Spain that's like only spoken by like 200 people.
It's probably that.
Sorry for offending anyone right now.
Look, I only have a certain amount of knowledge about the Spanish language. Anyway, let's jump over to Rory.
Let's jump to Rory.
Because I got a lot of stuff to say about Rory.
I have some feelings, not all positive.
Am I the only one that thinks Rory's being mean?
To Paul?
To a lot of people.
Yeah.
But
selfish.
But very much to Paul.
Paul is... poor Paul.
Poor Paul.
But
she knows better.
I gotta be honest. I don't like the Paul storyline.
I don't like it either.
See, what's even... Why? What's the point, right? Why is he a device?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to show that she's kind of...
Well, I think it's also to show, like, yes, the audience was always split of which boyfriend was the best for Rory, and obviously we'll get to them. But the fact that, like, Paul is, like, so insignificant right now that, like, even Rory can't even remember him is sad. So my problem is just as, like, writing kind of device. Like, if you're going to have such a throwaway character, don't even have him because he adds literally nothing to this show.
But I totally agree. Like the joke of forgetting a person,
it's really sad.
It just feels like it's a mean. Second rate. It's the same bit that they did on Arrested Development with Anne.
Yeah,
but it's not.
But it was funny on Arrested Development.
Well, the difference is it's a different type of humor. Like from a pure writing standpoint, like it's mean, but Arrested Development was like a mean, like more silly show where you could like legitimately people.
Yeah, we're supposed to love Rory, right?
There's a little bit of a separation of like realism from Arrested Development because they go into the absurd.
Yeah,
Gilmore Girls is not an absurdist show; it's a very down to earth show. So like, there's no way that Luke, Lorelai, and
Everyone
Emily, and Rory, and all these people who are decent people,
some of them
just forget about a person that she's been dating for
two years.
And I can understand her forgetting the 2 years thing because she's been traveling. That reads very true. But the forgetting him constantly is not, it's just, it didn't make
and
me
she just,
laugh. I just like, I felt bad because maybe it's because I feel like I'm too close to being like a Paul.
What was your name again?
not entirely, but like maybe of her like harem of guys, which is not unfair after these episodes because of Logan.
Oh, why? Why is Logan here?
Yeah,
like it has been 10 years since you were in college. Why are you hanging around this guy?
No, but like my question is, like what is happening between these two? And I'm like, not to jump ahead again, but just the whole...
No, jump is...
Logan-Rory relationship, I don't understand what's happening. We know that Logan is engaged to a French woman. They're not together all the time, but every time Rory comes back and lives in London, she crashes with him.
A French heiress.
Yeah, but like, I'm not understanding, like, they're kissing each other, they're cuddling up next to each other, they're always talking to each other and having dates and whatnot, dinner.
Oh, they're clearly banging.
They're sleeping.
Yeah, they're sleeping together. But like, I'm just trying to figure out this relationship if they wanted to go like full on, like them actually official again.
My take on it
is, understand it.
He obviously doesn't. He's gonna do this marriage of two powerful houses, as it were, like, and marry whoever this French woman is, and I don't know, Rory. What does Rory want? Not sure. Like, but I don't. I think Logan likes what he's getting. He can have, you know, a taste.
And then I'll she just leaves. Say, I was never a Team Logan person.
No,
ever.
Me either.
No, I like. I didn't like him at first. I warmed to him a little bit. Then there was the episode with him and Jess where he like flipped out at him, and that's mm-hmm. like to me that was such a reveal of who he is as a person underneath that every like good act that he had after that was like you don't fool me, mm-hmm. Logan. But yeah, I never liked Logan.
It confused me as a character for like Rory to even be interested in for a while, but then only in watching these new episodes I thought, is he like a he's like a young Christopher a little yes. bit. He's the like her dad figure, right? Like really wealthy and does what he wants.
They did that in one episode where they made it very clear that like he okay. when Christopher first met him, like they made it very
the
clear
same guy.
Like oh, and then, like, I had never connected it until they yeah. like made the point of showing it, and in that sense I think that's why she fell for him.
Yeah.
I just like I think them getting back together, I don't like it, but I get it because it's falling back into an old
witch.
Like
yeah,
it's your old ways.
Guys, she's 32. Like this is some of her storyline stuff. I felt like this is her mid-20s. Find yourself. I don't have a job. Journalism's dead, Rory. Like you know everything. Like this is for her mid-20s. She's 32. Like she knows better by now. Like what has she been doing for 10 years?
Do you think
years?
She's being maybe it's that she's being written more as like a 25-year-old?
Like yeah. it like we shouldn't have waited this many years to like have
this
show.
Like
had the show go on
a little
like,
bit because
still continued. These are the things we would have been seeing.
And I would almost forgive like she's you know homeless. She's jumping
she's
around
a
from
nomad.
All these. Yeah, she's a nomad and homeless is a
you know what
word,
if you
but,
think about
but
where
that's like what.
Yeah.
You do in your as a like 20 something, but she's yeah. over 30. Okay. It's time to like live in a location at
well,
least.
Well, I think Lorelai brought up a good point. She's like, hey, life's been good to you already.
Yeah.
You know, she had success so early on in her life, and I think this is just one of the first times she actually hit a brick wall, and she just doesn't know what to do herself. But since we've been off the air for 9 years, we didn't see that. So
yeah.
I think
yeah.
the audience, we're just led to believe that she's just been successful her whole time. While we didn't see her, and this is the first time she's actually struggling.
If we sort of read the whole series as if it was 2 years after it went off the air, I'm thinking about
it's
like Lorelai's
yeah.
storyline
yeah.
too.
Never talked
like,
about having kids with Luke, whatever. Yeah,
it makes so much more sense with that time frame.
To me, I think so too. Exactly.
So I almost want to watch it with that in my head
yeah.
instead.
Because yeah, like Rory's a little too old to be like jerking these guys around, and just it's. She should have matured.
I mean, I know plenty of people, both men and women, who are like in their early to mid 30s who are not settled down,
sure.
who are mm-hmm. single, especially if you're in a more creative field.
Yeah,
that
I'm
forces
sure it's
you to like
a comment yeah. on how it sucks to be young right now. But
it does. I do love that she's working with
Alex Kingston. Yes,
she popped up. I was going, River?
Yeah. I know. I all I could think was no spoilers as we were going to be talking about it.
Nice.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, Elizabeth Corday from ER. Like, I went back to ER days.
She was fun.
Glad to see her. She was really fun.
She was great.
I like when she insulted Winston Churchill.
She was fun. She got a little too much though, and I think that was just like how they wrote her character, and obviously being a drunk. To the point where, like, this could not be a good working relationship.
No, obviously not.
Yeah. It... yeah, I don't know.
Say it.
It's like... yeah. It's fun. Like, I don't know what to think of. Like, Rory, just, like, read the room. Like, read
yeah,
the person
yeah.
in front of you.
Exactly.
But I can also totally understand the temptation. Because, being in like the entertainment industry as like we are, there are those people who can show you one side of their face
yeah.
to get you like, yeah, this could totally be a good thing. 6 months in, you're like, oh no.
No way.
What
yep.
have I done?
Yeah.
Because I've had people like do that where they're working with you on something, you put in like a lot of hours in like on spec, or and then they will just like decide one day No, I don't. Like, I don't
sure,
wanna,
we've
I don't
all do... had that. Yeah, horrible yeah. flakes and.
it happens at every level.
Yeah.
So that moment read real true.
I just felt bad for Rory though, because someone who doesn't have a stable career, stable finances right now, and how she can still afford to keep traveling back and forth from London.
Like, I know. I guess.
All right,
well,
I'll just look past that.
So she's not paying rent anywhere. So I guess that all goes to like plane tickets, right? This is what I hate to bring it back to the money thing, but I really wonder how is she making a living? And
yeah.
to your point earlier that like, yeah, I guess she has been successful up to this point, that she's like been published in The New Yorker, and she's been able before this winter started to afford her own place in Brooklyn, which is not cheap. Like how she's been living there, although I guess maybe grandparents help, but she's a little old for that again. Like, you know, if they
yeah,
were
not in
helping
2016.
Support her.
Yeah, but if you think about it, everywhere, okay, like right. she lands, like she's always fed and she always has housing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she goes to Lorelai, Lorelai feeds her. She goes to Logan, Logan buys the dinner. She goes to Emily's house and Emily always provides the food. So like she's always had food. And housing.
True.
And if she is working enough that, like, let's say she's got, like, a good, if not great, income.
Maybe she's on retainer.
If she was on retainer anywhere, I don't think she would be looking for work that way.
Right.
But, like, freelancing, like, especially for big places like that, I imagine she gets a decent enough income to support herself. I don't know how that works. Like, I don't know what magazine writers get paid. Admittedly.
And we're supposed to assume that this is all that she's been doing. Is she's been a writer this whole time. She hasn't had other side jobs like the rest of us have to do.
I mean, probably starting out and we just didn't need to discuss it.
Okay.
But like, yeah, like now that's all she's doing.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're not spending money on like, you're not going out drinking all the time, like you don't have to spend money on meals, like all these
well,
things
maybe that's
like,
what
add up.
That's what Paul's for. Nice Paul will take her out on dates and buy her drinks.
Paul.
There's the use for Paul.
She cheats on him multiple times
yeah,
in these
just
episodes.
Really,
she doesn't even remember that.
It's really out of character. Is it out of character?
Yes,
see,
that's
torn.
The thing. I think it is complete. Yeah. I think it is out of character. That's why
obviously
it
there's
me.
The Dean thing with Dean back in the original series, and she loses her virginity to Dean, right? And
but she wasn't cheating.
But he was. So
but
that's,
he was.
And the thing
she
is, like, she's always the mistress in every relationship.
Which is but not this. Look, but not this with
but
Paul.
But that does not make Maury look like a good person.
Yeah, it's baffling. I mean, she was raised right. Right? No, I mean, like, Lorelai doesn't condone this kind of behavior.
Doesn't she?
She's had luck with men.
Does she cheat?
Lorelai...
She's not a cheater.
Let us not forget the end of season 6.
Yeah, let's not forget the end of season 2. She kissed Dean. Or, like, she kissed Jess while she was still dating Dean.
Oh, goodness. That's right. Okay, well, mm-hmm. So she's... Okay.
Like, yeah. I'm not... Like, this isn't to say, like, these are... horrible people.
No.
But these are, like, they've done...
Immoral.
Questionable. Not immoral. Questionable things. And again, it's like, with the whole thing with Logan, like, they're both cheating.
Yeah.
He
doesn't care, though. He seems like, they just seem like two non-matching, I don't understand the couple.
I think it's just that they're connecting to a time that was in their lives that was simpler. That was good. Because, like, when you think back to college, like, there is, like, a rose-colored glasses type
sure,
thing around
sure.
relationships.
And definitely for yeah. him, like, I would say for Logan has been, like, this crazy level of wealth his whole life. He doesn't need to, yeah, he works, obviously, but he has got family money forever, right? Like, so things don't matter to him in the same way that they definitely matter to Rory, I think. Like, you need... a job. She needs to find work that she's trying to do. And he's yeah. kind of like, whatever. Like, you know, so sure, college was great for him. College was a struggle for her some of the time to, like, she dropped out and she did all these other things. Like, I don't know. Yeah, Logan's the worst.
Thanks to the Huntsburgers. The Huntsburger
Mitch,
family. That
Mitchum,
whole
like,
family.
Popping in.
Oh, yeah, that was
like
good,
that.
Though. That was
oh,
good.
No, it was terrible.
It made me laugh.
It
and,
made
like,
me laugh, too.
Because, like, it was such a... And it was also, like, such a, like... hey, here's a character moment. Because the way he, like, appeared, like, he literally just, like, appeared out of nowhere.
Yep. I liked it, too. And that's because I'm, like, a little angry with Rory right now. So, like, I liked that, yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable because he's a jerk. But, like, yeah, sit through it because you're seeing Logan for no reason. Yeah.
Like, I didn't like it because I just hated Mitch so much.
He's awful.
When he came on the screen, I literally yelled at the TV. I'm like, oh, what are you doing here? You know, so like he just still irks me to this day.
Oh, he's a jackass.
He's awful.
He's a terrible human being.
Well, speaking of him, let's like we'll do this for both episodes, and then we'll get into spring. I loved all the little like pop ups for characters, like because they really did make sure that they're showing, and I'm sure more so in the in the second two episodes, like.
Miss Patty showed up right away.
Miss Patty,
from a distance.
She
like,
looked great.
Yeah.
Standing in the exact same spot as she always did. Perfect. I love the question of Taylor. Like, is he gay or not?
Yeah, that he's never addressed, apparently.
The whole town, like, oh.
Forgetting someone?
Sure there isn't someone else who can stand in that parade.
We met Mr. Kim.
Yeah, I missed that the first time, but I watched it again and was like, what? Because if you blink, you miss it. But yep, literally. There's a Mr. Kim.
That was great.
It's so funny.
Because that was the other thing that like threw me off rewatching the pilot was like they refer to her, Lane keeps referring to her parents, but we never meet her dad at any point. So I had just been like, oh, her father must have like passed away.
Yeah, it would have been easy to make her mom a widow.
So, but they're like, nope, no, there he is. You just never met him.
Yeah, but I was like, what has he been doing his whole time? What does he do
for a living?
And I loved how he didn't even say anything. He just waved. They were like, what? He's
I think
alive?
That was the gag.
Just
they're
a
like
extra.
It was just like just something there. That like I think probably happened by accident, like two or three seasons in. Somebody was like, you know, we've never met her dad. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh man, we'll just keep it. Like never cast him.
Yeah.
Like it's a fun gag. And they never address it, so you never think twice about it until this moment.
Lane looked great though.
Yeah. Lane looks identical. Like,
she looks
she's one of the people who has not changed.
Well, she was much older than a teenager, I think, even when the show started. So she's older than Alexis Bledel.
Her and Alexis Bledel, I think Alexis Bledel would have been 18 when they started filming.
When they started,
Alexis was 20 when they started.
Oh, yeah.
She was supposed to be 16, but she was actually 20.
Which she easily played, like especially in TV
world.
Oh, totally.
But Liz and TJ, we got by phone.
Oh, yeah, which is great. That's all I need out of them.
And they're part of a vegetable cult.
Naturally, they are. Good. Keep them over there and don't show them.
No, but, like, I kind of love Liz and TJ. I kind of actually wanted to see them. Maybe in the future episodes.
Yeah. Paul Anka made an appearance.
Love it.
So good.
I was excited that Paul Anka had survived.
Me too.
Not yet. That's an old dog now. He was old in the series.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He was a rescue. Like, he was already living by the time Lorelai adopted him.
But we didn't need a dead dog story.
No, but it's probably thanks to Luke, because I remember from the original series, like, they had set up before she got Paul Anka that Lorelai is terrible at keeping pets. Like, she would kill a lot of animals.
Yeah.
But I loved how they had the real Paul Anka incorporated into the show as well. You have to.
Yeah, gotta.
What do you think the nightmares are about?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
What do you think?
It's Paul...
Bathrooms.
I guess it's just, like, it's about home life.
Home life.
Home life is freaking her out. Because, like, as we freshen up and move into spring, the whole thing with her and Luke, like, having kids or not is a big deal, like, in terms of, like, what their lives are supposed to be. Like, it's sort of just, like, they never really addressed it. Like, Luke feels like he brought it up once, but didn't really.
Yeah. Which I would read as it's not that important to him, so, and it's not that important to her, so that's why, like, if you really want kids, you're gonna talk about it.
Right? For Lorelai, yes, but I think in Luke's case...
He thought he brought it up.
Well, no, not just that he thought he brought it up, but I think he's scared to bring something like that up, because if you think about how their relationship fell apart the first time,
the idea
of introducing a topic that very much could is exactly the type of topic that explodes relationships.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
I can understand him being scared to raise the issue with her.
Yeah, but I also kind of find it maybe just a little hard to believe how we see how he's such a good dad to April when April came into his life, and he always felt bad that he missed raising her and like missed the whole baby years to the teenage years, and like you think he would want to do that with Lorelai.
I think he does. Like yeah. That's the thing. I think he does.
They are pretty old now, though, to begin. Like
yeah.
But I just find it so hard to believe that he's so resistant to even wanting to start having another kid with her.
Well, I think it's not that he's resistant to the idea of having a kid, but
reluctant.
He has sort of gotten himself into a state of mind where he is like, this is going to be my life for the rest, till I die. And he's decided that he's okay with that. And he's like, he's not really searching for anything else.
And he's that type of character.
And
yeah,
he's
just
while
like, this
he
is
might
my lot.
Like want a kid, like he's set his mind to this and he's staying there. And like, dealing with Paris and her approach to surrogacy is just like
Paris.
So the opposite of what he would do in any of this. He's like, you know what? Forget the whole
She's
thing.
Way too intense for anyone, especially
she didn't really help the matter. But I loved how we did get Paris back. Like, and it seemed like nothing has passed with her. No time
she
has
looks
passed
great.
With her.
She
looks
great.
She looks amazing. And she had a kid too in real life. Like, I mean, but Paris is so consistent in how intense that she is. Even now older, more wiser, like, she's still the same.
She's written perfectly.
Yeah, and I think everybody can make that writing funny, but she's really funny. Like, it's hard. It's a challenge, I think, but she is great.
Just from an acting standpoint, it's
hard
amazing.
To deliver so that great. And still be, like, a liked character, definitely.
Well, the thing is like, yeah, she's intense, but deep down underneath that, she still has good intentions for everything. Yeah. And that's what you gotta love her. She does have heart, and she does actually mean well.
And she's a roaring success, right? She runs her own hugely successful business. She's doing great. She's doing, like, I think we want Rory to be doing.
I mean, when they go back to Chilton, like, and oh they run goodness. Into Francie, and Francie's like, you're a lawyer, like, the doctor.
Yeah.
Like,
on fire.
Like, you have a dental, you're an amateur dental hygienist. Like, what?
An amateur
you're
dentist.
Everything.
Then that totally reads true for Paris. Like, she would, like, be unsaid. She's like, yeah, I got my law degree, but I'm going to get my doctorate. My MD as well.
I think Francie had one of the best lines. Like, what did I just step back in 2003?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Which is what we all wanted, right?
The whole Chilton, like, they clearly couldn't get Chad Michael Murray to come back.
I know. Like, oh, the back of a blonde man's head. It must be Tristan.
I was like, and he's taller than Chad Michael Murray.
Hey, he grew after high school.
Sure.
Apparently.
Yeah, that's when he really came into his own. That's the only part I didn't like about, like, Paris's storyline was, like, really, you're hung up on this high school asshole.
But see, I get it. Like, that felt like immediately just, like, falling back to where you were. It reminded me of How I Met Your Mother, Revertigo. Like, as soon as you're around the people from that age. And, like, I've totally felt this. Like, because I went to a high school reunion recently. I'm not going to tell you which one.
10-year.
Yes. thank you, Haley.
I still have mine.
But you do sort of feel like you're still in that same, like, the power position
between
everyone different groups.
Yeah. Okay. You just get back to those old feelings of how you felt the last time you saw them.
Okay, I haven't been to a high school reunion, but on, like, one-off scenarios, I've seen people from high school that, you know, you have a crush on or that you hated or whatever, and you just, I don't know, there's the total opposite reaction of, like, oh, you? Like,
oh,
I was wrong. Like, you're not attractive or whatever, you know?
I remember running into, like, one of my, like, high school crushes, and it was just as awkward as it always was. Like, even though we had stuff to talk about, and, like, there was, like, things, like, career stuff that we were talking, that, like, was, like, similar, it was still super awkward, and, like, I was uncomfortable, and just, like, I'm gonna move on. And it wasn't even because I was interested. It was just, like, I got back there.
Yeah.
So I could totally see Paris just seeing that and connect and like falling into that.
All right.
Like,
all right.
I remember exactly.
Well, too bad then that they couldn't get Chad Michael Murray and like give Paris some like, oh, to be able to overcome it. Yeah. Or, you know, some success on that storyline.
I do hope that we get Louise and
France.
What is
Madeline?
Madeline Lewis. I hope we get that back. They were always a fun group to just appear in places.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and it goes with just that trope that you always see. There's always the three girls and the three mean girls. You have
is that it?
You have the mean girl, you have the follower, and you have the wannabe, and those were those three.
Yep, they're those cliches.
Yeah, it's a trope that's used so many times.
Is that why groups always blow up when you introduce that new character? Like the mold. Paris, Madeline, Louise, like they fell apart because Rory was introduced, and Mean Girls as soon as Lindsay Lohan shows up, like all kinds of craziness goes on.
Exactly. I told you, it's the trope. It's seen so many times.
What did you guys think of the dean offering Rory like a basically an open staff, like he's like, whenever you want to teach here, you have a spot.
I think that's great. I think it was that one thing, like, yes, she's lost right now and she's trying to find her way, but like if she kind of goes back and refocuses and like reshifts her priorities, she could have still a successful career. Like, yeah, things aren't coming to her now, but later on down the future, they're always there for her.
Sure, yeah. It's not like she is struggling really the way some other people might struggle. Like, she's not at a loss for potential jobs. She just sort of thinks herself maybe too good for them, I guess. And not to say, like, not everyone wants to go back and teach at their high school, because that might be a nightmare. Although Chilton is supposed to be very prestigious, so it could be a good thing. But it didn't seem like she jumped at that offer. I don't think she was necessarily interested in that.
Mm. I don't think she wants... like.
It's not what she wants.
She doesn't, like, I think she would, and they made it very clear.
It's giving up the dream, right? Like, it's having a regular job.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, she clearly is good at it.
Yeah.
Because, like, when she's talking to those kids, like, that was a beautiful speech that she gave about, like, music. It was true. It was meaningful. She's very good with words.
She is, and I think that just shows her character. Like, she may not be good at everything, but even the things that are challenging to her, she still works through it, and she's still successful at the end. Yeah. And I loved how the whole class was just so engaged compared to what Paris's class was.
Oh my god!
Like at the end, one girl literally crying. It was just hysterical.
The reactions to Paris, like so the physics professor, so like running away. Yeah. He had to have a special meeting. The dean had to like bring them in to be
therapy.
Like, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Like, she's crazy. What is Paris like? I don't like to quote Joseph Stalin. But
yeah, how she's all great. The greatest. She's awesome.
She was amazing. She had a great quote where and that's just in the bedroom. And like, I don't know about anybody else, but like, I actually laughed out loud at that line, and like, no one did. I'm like, no, that was actually funny, you guys. That was funny.
Yeah.
She said a joke.
So then we get the whole thing with Rory and her job hunt, because the book deal falls through, which we already talked about, for the best, I think.
Blessing in disguise.
And then Sandy is calling her from Sandy Says.
Yeah, who's like been bothering her like
apparently a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was such an interesting thing to like just like the whole. They like, I've never been courted by a job.
No,
before.
That must be nice.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be like,
that'd be great.
Oh my. but I can't imagine that like any decent employer would be like reaching out this much, like telling you that they want you and not just hand over a job. Like, that seems... I think Rory's expectations were perfectly legitimate for what she thought was happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. It sounded like this job is for you.
Yeah, you don't like spend all this time courting somebody and then interview and then bring them in for an interview.
Boy, that interview scene was like uncomfortable. Yeah. That was really uncomfortable.
It was painful.
My
to
skin
watch.
Crawled. Yeah.
In that sense, though, I feel like it's probably accurate to life with some of these
probably,
like smaller startup type places.
I guarantee that's probably the case. But also for Rory, even though she like assumed it was in the bag and she had this, you know, and they wanted her for a year or however long they've been calling her, like it's Rory. So even if she didn't expect to be interviewed, wouldn't you think she'd be like a good interviewee? Like I assume she's like, she was always like prepared girls study and do all the work, and I expected, even like though it was a curveball, to be like, oh well, here I am being amazing.
She does. She does need to learn how to pitch. I can't imagine it's that different from pitching anything else. It's like, okay, you don't have a reaction for sway. How you deal with this, you go in, you're like, you know what, what kind of stuff are you looking for? Let me go to work on it. I'll come back tomorrow with like 10 pitches. Like that's how Rory should have approached that. Like when she found herself in this situation, which it wasn't fair to like have to like throw that on her like that. But that's what happened.
But be ready. Yeah. And she would know. She's 32. I can't get away from it.
But still.
She should know by now.
That company, oh my God.
Yeah, horrible.
There are no offices. We're making Word Honey.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. That's awful.
Honey at that line. I was just like, leave. No.
Goodbye.
Get out. I think this was kind of where it felt out of character for Rory as well, not being as prepared as she usually is. Even when she's like trying to find her lucky outfit, like the fact that she doesn't organize her life anymore, or like as well as she used to. Like she's literally lost, and she's not doing the same thing she used to be doing. She lost herself, which is understandable. I think a lot of people hits those, you know, those brick walls in life.
For sure.
She's just not the same Rory that we saw, you know,
years ago. I think that makes sense. I mean, it's been 9 years. Like, in this sense, it works for me because it's been 9 years and she is going, she's like flying by the seat of her pants constantly. And when you're in that kind of lifestyle, like, when you're working like 70 hour weeks and you just can't, like, the basic version, you just don't get to the dishes for a month because when do you have time to stop and be like, well, I can now clean these things. Yeah. Like, no, I don't have time for that, so I'm just going to get a paper plate from the takeout and eat it that way. We all get into those loops. I think she's been in that for a long time, to the point where she doesn't, like, she's not only just throwing away the dishes, she threw away her whole apartment.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so it's tough, but I could see her getting to that place because she was so type A, so driven that she basically dug her own grave.
Yeah.
And now she's going all in on the GQ Lines story.
Oh my God, so hateful.
Lines.
I loved that reaction to just like to the news. Like she immediately jumped, like again, she's type A. Like she's like, all right, that didn't work. What's next?
Yeah.
Like
yep.
That thing didn't work. All right. They gave me the most small shred of hope.
Yeah.
I had to look up what Condé Nast was. I had no idea that was a thing. I thought it was a person for like the whole until she went into that room. I legitimately thought it was a person. Like I thought it was like Condé Rice's like. Like, because they call her Condé Rice. Like, I just assumed, like,
Condé
Rice,
but dirty.
Oh, that's terrible. But Condé Nast is based on One World Trade Center.
It's an
advanced publication.
Yeah, it's a mass media conglomerate. Yeah. It's very real. And I think that the guy in that meeting was an actual person from GQ.
From GQ, I think so, yeah.
Whereas the woman in that room is on AfterBuzz TV once a week.
Nikki Boyer.
Nikki Boyer, who is a co-host on Straight Talk with Ross Matthews, who films at the AfterBuzz studios.
Zach and I know her.
Awesome.
Completely threw me off.
Gotta love Hollywood.
I know that
face.
That's such a Hollywood thing.
Really funny. Straight Talk with Ross Matthews, now on Mondays for the month of December. I can plug.
Usually I do.
Anyway.
And but oh, yeah. like also in the lines we had Mae Whitman,
yeah,
which was great because if you guys never watched Parenthood, obviously daughter, Lauren Graham right? yeah. and Mae Whitman were together, mother daughter. So I love the fact that both of Lauren Graham's on screen daughters were in the same scene.
Yep,
that was so amazing.
Have you guys waited in lines like this?
For I mean things forever maybe not for these when they did dumb Starbucks in Los Angeles I did wait
I
in
thought
that
about
line.
Going for that, yeah.
I lived up the road from there so I was I waited in that line to just be cool
yeah as a con goer I have waited in many a line
yeah sometimes if you think about all the time added up together of your life that you've ever spent waiting in any lines ever it'll really make you insane
I've done Black Friday every year
oh geez
oh I don't mess around with lines on Black Friday.
Nope.
I'll go to Black Friday. I don't mess around with the lines. I wait until it's like
it's what
like
the internet
chill.
Is for, you guys.
Yeah.
No, I wait in 4-hour lines in 20-degree weather.
Yeah. I waited in a 45-minute line for the Gilmore Girls pop-up when they did Loot.
Awesome.
Me yes. and Yell Teagle, like Yell was like, we're going, right? Because she knew I was doing the Power Watch. Mm-hmm. So we went like super early in the morning.
Awesome.
Had to get there at, like 6:15. It's dark out. And there were already like 200 people
wow.
there ahead
I
of us.
It.
I thought it was going to be like super chill because it wasn't like a big deal. They were giving yeah. out free coffee.
And surprising in LA that anyone gets up that early.
People got up for like a Luke Steiner yeah. like pop-up
right, hey,
thing.
It's literally like right down the road from us. So that's totally understandable.
Yeah.
I've gone to the WB tour, not to digress completely from this after show, but the WB tour, the VIP tour, you always go downtown, the backlash. Of WB where they film yep. Gilmore Girls so like I've stood in Luke's diner
nice.
Multiple times
I yes. and this is before I watched the show but like I've worked on the WB lot for like extended time so like there are times where they're like when they're walking through like New York City mm-hmm. I'm like I can see the I know exactly like where yeah, on the yeah. lot that yeah. is like I had to drive golf carts through there to like get
well
to...
I always think it's funny too because like living out here and from the East Coast and like I'm charmed by the yeah. East Coast still you know it's home and then like watching like the winter episode and being like oh it's so cozy it's winter it's lovely Connecticut and like no, it's not Connecticut like
no it's like it's all like that here. That town is Connecticut it's also like the middle of nowhere Pennsylvania when Pretty Little Liars wants to shoot there like
yeah,
it's
exactly.
the same if the you same didn't town. Know it's the same town
it's Rosewood
but yeah
gotta I, love see
that's how it's I'm sorry we're breaking Hollywood walls for you but anyway the lines thing all right I enjoyed like how they like dealt with some of the people like the bearded dude sitting
yeah.
there like I wanted to hit
Rory fell asleep, obviously. Yeah.
It's
he
dangerous.
Didn't. He
dangerous.
Wasn't that riveting.
But I did not appreciate the nerd shaming that went on when Rory hooked up with, as she put it, the Wookiee guy.
Well, you know what's funny, though? Historically, on this show, as though they are kind of nerds, you would think, based on all their pop culture and literary references... They are nerd shamers. This has come up before, I think. They make
has it?
They make yeah. fun of nerd stuff. That's established, I think. Not so much that she wouldn't tap that, obviously. So, you know,
see,
it's a loving jibing, I think.
Yeah, like I wasn't as, you know, upset about the nerd shaming, quote unquote. It was more so...
Because you're too cool.
No. It was more so. I saw it as like, again, this is out of character for Rory to have a one-night
apparently.
Stand with a stranger.
So
like,
she's never had one.
She's not herself right now in these episodes, and I don't like it.
See, I was just disappointed because as soon as she's like, I hooked up with a Wookiee, and it's like they established what happened, I was like immediately, I was like, I ship it! Like, I want to meet this nerd that she like was that she was having a good time with that they were laughing
yeah,
together
yeah.
like they can like they connected just like at random like she clearly doesn't have feelings for Paul and like
at
again
all. She doesn't even recall Paul
she cheated on him again here which
yep,
again
yep.
out of character and it bothers me but if we had ignore the fact that Paul exists, like the
which
show
like
is doing.
Like we all are doing.
Like
yeah.
having a one night stand is like not a big deal.
When you're out with your mom, though, a little weird. Like, I mean, she was obviously back at the hotel, but like
yeah.
a weird thing to like I'm working and then I'm going to go have a time with my mom. Like, don't go divert into a one night stand.
But it happens, one night stand
was more like a quickie.
It was that she was so, like, I get, like, being frustrated, like, oh my God, I can't believe we did this. Like, but then, like, I don't know. For, like, as somebody who would be found dressed as a Wookiee in a line, like, I was I was also just like, ouch, like, if I had, like, hooked up with Rory, like, that's what I would have been Wookiee guy out of all the guys on the that she's
so
been
you're not
with.
Paul though, at least. So
no, I'm not Paul, I'm Wookiee guy.
She made the Wookiee guy sound funny and could get it. She's never had a one night stand was a sort of shocking. She's 32. I keep saying it, but like, how has she never had a one night stand?
She's a serial monogamer.
Except
well,
Logan.
She's also a person who usually has her ish together, and she doesn't have that right now.
Like, that's right. She reacts to emotionally to things, but she's not. She doesn't rush into things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the same way. Like, she wouldn't like she hasn't to this point like ever hooked up with somebody on a whim.
Yeah,
It's always somebody that she has feelings for, except the what situation with, except for, I would say, except for the situation with Tristan, but that was its own complicated mess.
Sure.
Tristan was coming out to her.
Yeah.
Let's get that straight.
Yeah. But, like, do you think the lines piece is going to be a good... Was that a good idea for her to take on? Like,
no.
This, like, ridiculous story?
No, is the answer.
No, it's not good. But it's also, like, the way that they were going about it. It's the psychology of people going into the line. So I think there's a good angle that she could write about. And it's more so... Get out of her comfort zone. That's what makes you a great writer, is when you expand yourself beyond what you're comfortable with. And I think it is actually good for her. Maybe it might not be the best story, but she's Rory. She can roll with it and make it awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, which they set up from the prior series that I think maybe at Yale when she was on the paper and she got assigned really crappy like topics at Chilton. Okay.
She had to like the paving.
Right. Mm-hmm. So she can obviously take something and make it a great piece of writing. They've set that up, but lines. I mean, she's not excited about it. It doesn't seem like
she's desperate.
It is
like beggars can't be choosers.
That's right. Yeah, begging. I think it's the perfect like they gave her one like carrot on a string. It was that or sports, which she doesn't know at all. So, like, if she can, this is her in. So she has to sort of just like attack it. Like, this is the project that got a potential option. So you have to just go into it head first. And I like the idea of her taking it up on spec, not worrying about like that they don't know where they're going to put her yet. Like, prove yourself first.
Yep.
It's how she got the internship at the Gazette or whatever it was, where she was just like sitting in the lobby for like a month. So I think it works, and that's totally Rory.
Yeah.
Like, where the relationship stuff, I'm like, it doesn't feel like Rory. This feels like Rory.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. Let's jump back over to Lorelai, unless you guys have other things you want to say about Rory.
Let's jump back.
Because Lorelai in therapy with her mother.
What we always wanted and never knew we wanted, and it's a dream.
But... once we actually saw them together, it's exactly how it would go down in therapy with those two.
Long stretches of silence and then, like, weird joke and then more silence.
Yeah, but it's necessary and needed for these two characters to actually sit down and talk their issues out. But the fact that they're still not doing that right or properly yet is still concerning. But, like, I'm glad it's on the path to maybe some resolve and resentment towards each other.
Well, like, the letter.
Yeah, that was interesting.
What letter?
Like, are we supposed to know? Is that supposed to reference something?
No, right? I don't think so.
I think this is just, like, literally, you know how when people want something so bad and they believe it, so they believe it's true? And I think that's just Emily's resentment towards Lorelai so much that she believed that Lorelai could do this. She convinced herself that Lorelai wrote this letter.
Interesting.
And I don't think it's even
a real thing. You don't think it's a real thing. I think it is. I think Lorelai forgot she did it. And because we've seen her over all these years. She can be like emotional and say horrible stuff sometimes. And like, I bet she did write a letter.
But I don't think she would do it in a written form towards her mother. That's
too much.
Problem.
Too much
I
evidence.
Think Lorelai is a person who would actually speak her feelings, not write her feelings.
That's fair.
Yeah. I don't think I can't imagine this is the last we're going to hear about it.
Right.
No. but it does feel like, I don't know, like, I guess it was an anonymous letter, and that Emily sort of just attributed to Lorelai. So if that's the case, I think, like, let's get to the bottom of who would have sent it. My first thought was, like, was an angry Rory.
Yeah.
Who's seeing, like, her mother, especially if it was, like, before, like, the series started, like, seeing her mother, like, reacting to all these things and wants to help in the way a little kid would.
See that.
But Rory, even though Lorelai's like, I would never, I don't send letters. Rory does send letters.
That's right. That's really interesting. Want to know what it says.
Yeah. Or, like, how long ago was this written?
Yeah.
Because apparently it's been a while since Emily let this brew over.
Yeah.
But, like, I still think that Emily convinced herself that it was Lorelai.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm. Sure, it'll come up in therapy.
it didn't come up in the next session, though.
Oh.
But there's, like, there's a lot of things that they're sort of hashing out. We talked about, like, what they're dealing with. But the whole thing with Luke becomes another wrench in their plans. This fits so well with this. Like, this read almost is the most accurate to this original series, like, of all the plot lines.
Right.
Richard, like, leaving Luke, like, here's a bunch of money. You can only use it to expand the diner. Something like, do you think Luke wants to actually expand and is just scared to, or he just has zero interest?
No interest. Because at that point you're not running a diner. If you have a franchise, you're like doing business crap all day, you know, like, which is not his interest. It doesn't seem like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Luke wants to expand. I think he runs his diner because he loves the town. He loves what he does. He's comfortable literally where he is. I mean, you think about it, Luke's apartment is where he, you know, like, right above Luke's, that's where he lived. Like, he loves his little town and he's very safe and secure. And the fact that he might have to expand just because of money, it's not really Luke's character to... He's just running his diner because he actually truly loves it.
Yeah. It's like, it's all he's, like, really wanted from life, right?
He's happy with it.
Well,
he's content.
Even so, that it is not what he wants and maybe shows that Richard didn't know him very well, perhaps, but I was kind of touched that he left him money in the first place. It was sort of like a nice, like, I know you're my daughter's person, you know? Like, it was kind of nice, even if misguided.
Luke's diner empire.
Yeah.
Just the wording. That just shows Richard's mentality of how he ran his life and all of his investments, and how that's successful is when you control everybody else, not when you control yourself. And I just find it interesting. Yes, it's believable that Richard would do this, but again, it doesn't show that he knows Luke at all.
If I was Luke, I would just, like, the wording of that document says the expansion and franchising of Luke's diner. Just focus on the expansion part.
Be like, get rid of Taylor's candy shop or whatever.
My first thought was just like,
expand that.
He
one.
Owns that building. Like, he could have theoretically, like, give Taylor notice and kick him out.
Yeah.
Then that window, like, the ridiculous window.
Yeah.
I think what was more painful was, like, Emily inserting herself into this expansion. You know, like, actively going out and finding more real estate for Luke's empire.
With,
like,
Ida the shark.
With Ida.
Yeah,
but it's such an Emily thing.
It's invasive, like Emily, but it's also maybe trying to fulfill her late husband's wishes. It's kind of like heart's in the right place, sort of, you know, even though it's not what he wants, obviously.
But I, like, it's fun. It's like a good, even though we're like, why are you doing this? It's like, I appreciate it's a good story.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch Luke, like, squirm under all the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Luke with Emily is, like, my dream. All I want to see is this uncomfortable situation.
Right. And I love when Luke saw Emily walking up to him. He's like, no. What are you doing here?
Let's talk about some of the other storylines that sort of that came up, like the sort of, like, random ones. Like, we caught up with Lane and Zach.
Yeah, they played a catchy song, right?
They did. They were good. They were on.
I love how they're still together. They're still rocking this band, even though that Zach is kind of successful in his life. He got a promotion, so like he's very well to do now. So, but the fact that they're still together doing this band because they love it, it keeps them together.
The two kids are grown.
Two kids now, yeah.
Seeing Paris amongst that group is so funny.
She was out of her element.
It's always funny when, like, because Lane and Rory, like, grew so far apart that, like, at certain times during the series when they would, like, get back and wind up together, it's like, oh, yeah, this feels, or it was like, this feels weird. But, yeah. like, the idea, like, Paris and Lane, like, have barely met. But it's true. Yeah, like, yeah. They barely have met.
Well, we don't know in the last 9 years.
See, that was the thing. Like, I was legitimately trying to remember episodes. I was like, when have those two ever been in a scene together?
Yeah.
Very, very few.
Yeah. Hardly ever happened.
Yeah. But, like...
But she liked their kids. They were good, you know, good stock.
Who did your work? him?
Yeah.
I mean, because they had that, like, oof, that was a tough one time. They had sex one time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's your life.
Yep. But, yeah, did you guys have any other favorite moments from these two episodes?
Talking Paris, we got Doyle also.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about Paris and Doyle.
Gotta love Danny Strong.
Super just... self-aware writing, because he literally went on. It would have. It's almost as much as if they had been like, "Yeah, he went. He's like fighting vampires or something." <I don't know.
laughs> Yeah,
because like for people who don't know, he actually has gone on to be a very successful screenwriter,
Emmy Award winning.
Yeah, including creating Empire on Fox.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
and he helped co-wrote Mockingjay, The Hunger Games Mockingjay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Very successful.
That's very so successful.
So this is poking fun at him.
Yeah, and I love this. Like, yeah, I had a meeting in LA. They gave me a bunch of money and flew me first class. I'm like, yeah,
that's great. Because
that's probably actually happening in real life.
Yep.
But even Paris bringing up the topic before we actually see Doyle is she finds it so distasteful what he's chosen to do, and it really like is very funny. Like, oh, it's screenwriting, no, like not and she's an
thinking,
option.
She's thinking like, oh, he'll do it for a little while. He'll fail and then he'll come back. And she's like, oh no, he's doing well.
Yeah, like he sold a few things.
And you know what I liked is when we do see him and he and Rory have this little interaction, because obviously they have their own friendship. That like that's the moment that Rory seemed the most mature, I think, so far in these two episodes. Where like, yeah, I'm closer friends with Paris, but we can be civil even though you're having trouble in your marriage or whatever, you know. And she was just very like reasonable, and the most reasonable I think we saw her anywhere else in these two episodes.
I was sad to hear that they were getting a divorce.
Paris will be fine. Yeah, totally brings her down.
Oh no, Paris
no drag to the top.
Paris will be fine. But like they were always, it was like that. Such like they were so weird together.
The odd couple.
That it, like it worked so well.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised at the fact that she had kids with Doyle. Yeah. Like, oh, wow, all right, they fully went there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two.
Two of them.
I mean, did she carry them? Was that covered? Or did she, was that part of her business?
That's a good question. They did not, I do not believe they addressed it.
I didn't even think about that.
Because that would be, you know, that would interfere with her work.
Her
life.
Work.
Just have someone else
I can't
do that
imagine
work.
Her pregnant either.
Right.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
She'd be more comfortable as a pregnant woman.
That's right.
She has her, like, squad of surrogates, though. Like, she comes with two of them.
Breeders.
Breeders. It's creepy.
Yeah, it's yucky.
And I loved Luke's,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, Luke doesn't understand the process.
Am I going to have sex with these women? Like, I don't want to have sex with her.
But very true to his character to be so out of place in something so uncomfortable for him.
Yeah.
Well, and that. Paris calls it out, right? She's like, oh, I get it. You're a small town boy. You get your milk from a cow. He's like, everyone gets their milk from a cow.
I really wanted someone to be like, 2016. Yeah, some people get milk. It from a nut.
That's very true.
Almonds and soybeans.
All right. But yeah, were there any other things that we need to talk about? Like favorite
Michelle
moments?
Might leave the dragonfly.
Oh, yeah, Michelle. We didn't talk about him at all.
Also, no one raised his name up when they were talking about the gay pride parade.
Yeah, but does he live in Stars Hollow, or does he live
works
out
there?
Yeah, right. He's very much a part
but
of Stars
But does he
Hollow.
Participate in town stuff? I don't know. He's
no.
sort of
no,
like
No, he's
above
never
it.
Been to
yeah.
it.
Yeah, he so, decidedly
so
stays
no way
out of
is
it.
He going to march in a parade. Like, come on.
But I love that he's married now. Yeah, that's great. Do you guys think he's actually leaving, or he's just like trying to scare Lorelai?
Yeah, I think he's just frustrated right now because Suki's not there. Like, he got used to this work life with Lorelai, and it's not really the same anymore. And he's just frustrated, and I think he's just not happy. And like, yeah, you could be still working at the same place even if you're not happy.
That's right. But yeah, it could be just. It could be just regular Michelle complaining. But I too early to tell, maybe, yet. Since they are making it a storyline, maybe he is going to leave.
Yeah.
And Yannick Truesdale has actually been here to the studios. He's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's cool.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Is he actually French?
He's Canadian French.
All right. I don't know.
Yeah, he does speak French.
But yeah. Those were all of my favorite parts. A little tidbits, like the town has a secret bar.
Oh, yeah, that was cute.
I like that.
And of course, it would be Babette who would almost reveal
yep.
that.
Yep. When Emily brings Luke into the study at her house, he describes it as woody. I really laughed at that. Like, he's just so out of place. It's so charming.
There was one thing that, like, maybe we could quickly talk about.
Yeah.
The fact that this is on Netflix now, and I think they're a little bit more lenient on... what they can get away with.
Yeah.
Not in, you know, like, they're talking about homosexuality. They're talking, like, Lorelai curses in this episode. She says, holy shit. I'm like, oh my God. It's so weird to see her curse.
I think it's also just the year difference. Like, there is a vast difference from what's on television between 2007 and 2016. Yeah. Like, especially just, like, gay marriage. Just, like, it's not a touchy subject that you have to, like, wade into now. It's like, no, it's just there.
Network shows have gay characters now. It's more socially acceptable now than it was 9 years ago.
Yeah. True.
But, like, I loved the fact that, like, they can get a little bit more risque in their topics compared to what networks would actually limit them to.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Like, if we Netflix is awesome.
Yeah. If we were dealing with it with Michelle's marriage in 2005, like, Emily probably would have disagreed with it on principle, and she would have had an episode where she learns to accept it and stuff like that. Just realistically, like, that's the like the sort of stories that you. Oh, yeah. But those are sort of the stories that you told about that topic. Now it's just a point of, like, their lives.
Yeah.
It's not an issue.
Yeah.
And that's great. That's great that it's that simple to weave in.
Well, I liked picking out in the references, like, what shows has Lorelai been watching in the last 9 years? And, like, she definitely watched The Wire. I think there was a Game of Thrones reference. Like, there's just different
Lord
things.
Of the
like,
Rings
yep, she's
reference.
Here.
Yeah.
Oh, so they, it's nice to. She watches a lot of Lifetime.
Oh, yeah. All.
They got real dangerous to losing me, though, because they made a lot of negative comments about Marvel.
They did. They did.
And I'm just like,
I thought about you.
You're lucky I like you, girls.
Yeah. I legit did think about you when they mentioned that Marvel reference. I was like, oh, how is Zach going to take this?
Not well. But I'm moving past it. I mean, you saw how well I took the Wookiee situation. Yeah, right. I liked Rachel Ray, specifically. Yeah. Like, her appearance was fun.
Yeah.
But I do miss Wookiee.
Yeah. Well, with that, like, do you guys want to do some predictions towards what we're looking towards?
And now, TV predictions.
You are using an unregistered version of sound.
We're going to fix that after this.
Great. Well, based on the trailer for the entire 4 episodes, I know that Suki shows up at some point because she's in the trailer.
Yeah.
So we're going to see her.
Well, I think that's where Michelle went.
To go get her.
Like Michelle left to go get Suki.
That's good.
And he's going to come back and it's like, oh, you got him. And he's like, what the fuck? Like,
that's good.
You can't give too much emotion to Michelle or he's going to freak out.
Right. I love that. I think this whole family business with Lorelai, I think they're eventually going to start one. I don't know how it's going to happen. I'm not sure if they're actually going to go the surrogacy route or in vitro. I don't know. But I definitely think it's on the upswing to starting something because there was a line when Lorelai was talking in a therapy session. So like, Luke and I are happy, and I'm like, are you really? Like, and I'm questioning because I don't think they're happy.
Well, there was a really good line. She kind of summarizes her relationship for Rory, and she says, you know, I annoy him and he fixes the cabinets or something like that. And I was like, yeah, I think that's just like a relationship. You know, after a certain amount of time, it is that, but you still want to be around each other.
Yeah.
So it's not exciting, but it is.
I do agree. Nice. I think they're going to get pregnant. I would actually, if I was going to just like predict, I would say more likely that they get pregnant the old fashioned way. While they're planning on this surrogacy thing, it just like happens on its own by accident.
Mm, that'd be interesting.
Which admittedly, medically is a little bit risky
tough,
for Lorelai.
Very tough.
But not impossible.
No.
No.
Maybe.
I would love to see Rory actually go back for her master's. Like, just maybe just scrap writing right now and just go back and get more education.
And teach? Yeah. Do you actually want her to go and teach?
Yeah.
At Chilton.
Or like maybe not even teach, but like, she was always comfortable with education and learning about something. And I think if she, like, reassesses her life, goes back to school, maybe she can feel more confident once she gets out to get better jobs.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I mean, having a master's is always something that's good. I think most writers at that level probably do have master's degrees. She skipped it. She easily could have. And then she just, like, she was getting gigs. So why go back to school?
Yeah, and depending on what you're writing, she could work a job and still be a writer. If she was doing a book, she could have time to do maybe both.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But she's not getting gigs right now, so I think it's actually a good time that she could go back to school.
Yeah. No, it makes
sense.
And
she moves back with her mom, so, like, she's settling down.
Yeah, she has to move back in.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's always, I mean, that's very true to life.
To life,
like,
that's
right. You're out of college, like, you start losing jobs, like, well,
hey, mom.
Yep. Mom and surrogate dad.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for the first Gilmore Girls after show at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you guys so much for joining us for Gilmore Girls, A Year in the Life, Winter and Spring. If you like the show, jump on iTunes, give us a review. It helps other people find the podcast so that they can enjoy it. If you're on YouTube, let us know what you thought of the show. You can do it right in the comments below the video. Give us a thumbs up. We'd appreciate it. And we want to know what you think. Are you on board with Rory going to, like, getting back into school? What do you think of her relationship status? Should Luke be launching his empire? If he does, he should call Doyle. I'm just saying, like, he knows what he's doing. And until next week, you guys can find me, I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @ZachWilson, and also on a whole bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back this week, and on the Popcorn Talk, I've got my show Sci-Fi Weekly, which is so vastly different an audience from this show. But if you happen to be a weird crossover of those two universes, we're jumping on and we're going to tape right now as soon as I get out of this room.
There you go.
Why don't you guys tell people where they can find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. Check out my Parenthood After Show, too, because I hosted that one. I have one more prediction. I'm cheating. I think Luke will propose to Lorelai.
Good call. But wait, Haley.
Yes.
If people want to lead, where can they follow you?
Nice one. They can follow me on Twitter at Haley O'Connor, H-A-Y-L-E-Y, or on Instagram at Haley Wood.
I'm sorry, I had to get that one
out. That's great.
All right, guys, this has been the Gilmore Girls After Show. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back soon with Summer and Fall.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.